If you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I want to continue what I began last Wednesday night, dealing about the value and the blessing of the prayer meeting. The value and blessing of the prayer meeting. And this kind of began continuing our study that we have been doing in prayer after I talked to Brother Ricky Dunsford, and he mentioned to me about how that today so many churches are debating and questioning the do we really need to have a prayer meeting anymore? Do we really need to have a Sunday night service? And questioning and debating all kinds of things because they don't know the biblical foundation for why we do what we do. And that, I think, is a sad commentary on where we are today because we don't study our Bibles like we should. Pastors aren't preaching. And so I kind of got convicted about this matter, and so I began to study on my own the merit for having prayer meetings. And the Bible, the New Testament, the book of Acts specifically, has numerous examples of the people gathering together for prayer. And so I want to kind of share with you tonight, very briefly, the apostolic history of the prayer meeting. Basically from the book of Acts, because I think it's important for us to see that. I understand and know that the book of Acts is a transitional book, but I also know that there are things, many things that we do today are based from the book of Acts, from the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so I'm going to show you tonight, beginning at Acts chapter 1 and verse 14 specifically, this phrase here that's given to us, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts tonight that we might understand and know the merit of gathering together as a people to pray. I pray that we might understand that this is something that has been true of the church since its founding in the book of Acts. And I pray to our Heavenly Father that we would not put on the rose-colored glasses of the culture to look at situations and things, but that we might cast those aside for the clear truth of the Word of God. And I pray that you might give us a love for prayer, a love and a desire to meet together for prayer, because it is through prayer that we bring to Thee the needs of our heart, but also we bring to Thee adoration and praise and thanksgiving in addition to our petitions. And so we would ask, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts as we consider this phrase and as we consider the example that's given to us in the book of Acts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at these words again in verse 14. These all. Now it gives us a list of the disciples and it mentions the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So we've got Jesus' family, we've got the 11 disciples, and we have the women, evidently the wives of the disciples that were present there. They have a fairly good-sized group, and they've gathered together for one purpose, and that was to pray. This is the first official prayer meeting following the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. They gathered there, I think, because they didn't know what else to do. To be honest with you, I don't think they knew what else to do. Their leader had just arisen into heaven. No, they had never seen anybody rise off of the earth and leave. Can you imagine? Put yourself in their shoes. Here, one minute, the Lord's speaking to you, and the next minute, He begins to rise off of the ground, and you watch Him go up into the clouds. That's not normal. The one who had been with them for 3 years, the one who had just been crucified and now he's alive. They're processing all of this and now the Lord ascends back into heaven. And now he's not here. What do we do? They did what Christians do. We pray. That's not bad. That's good. That's wonderful. They prayed. They wanted to know what the Lord wanted them to do. Now God had already told them in the end of the book of Luke and here in the early chapters, early section of Acts, what they were supposed to do. But they felt the need to gather together to pray. I look at it this way. They united in group prayer as a comfort, having been discouraged by the leaving of their Lord. They gathered together to encourage each other in prayer. I don't know about you, but my heart's been encouraged many, many times over the years just gathering together to pray. My heart's encouraged on Saturday mornings when we meet for prayer at 7 o'clock. We have a little group that comes together and we pray for individuals. We pray for the church. We pray for the church families. We pray for the school. We pray for all kinds of requests that people share there. It's a time of encouragement. Sunday night, we have a prayer time at 5:30, right before the evening service. We get together and we pray. That's a good thing. We gather together tonight so that we can pray. There is encouragement found in praying together. And so, the first thing that they did following the ascension of their Savior into heaven was to get together and to pray. And I want you to notice these words here, because these are such powerful words. And we find here a phrase that's almost completely indigenous to the book of Acts. 10 times there is a word that is used here, a particular phrase that is given to us here. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. The word continued is used several times in the book of Acts. All continued together. This particular phrase especially is interesting, and I wanted to share with you some thoughts on this. There's various translations of this phrase. With one mind, they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. And it is in the Greek language, it's in what's called the periphrastic form. Periphrastic simply means that they were meeting with a mind to continue to meet and to continue to meet and to continue to meet with no end in sight. That's what periphrastic. It has a future view in mind. Yes, there's action in the present, but we're going to continue. And that phrase is used several times in the book of Acts, where they gathered together in one accord to pray. So that is an important phrase that we need to know. They all continued with one accord. We get the Greek word here is homothumadon. Homothumadon. It simply means with one mind. And it's a musical term. Several years ago, I went through the New Testament as part of my coursework at Bob Jones University. I was taking a class on hymnology, and I signed up for my thesis that I had to write for that particular class, the musical terms of the New Testament. And this word, homothumadon, is one of them. And it simply means to sound together in harmony. One of the things that we always did at home growing up was family Bible time, and we sang. We grew up singing. We learned how to sing tenor from our dad. And he would always break out into the tenor part, and my sister would be on the melody, and Mom would be on the melody, and Roger and I, we'd split up. He'd do alto, and I'd do something else or whatever. We sang parts, and we sang together as a family around the table as we had our Bible reading together. And that was a special time as kids. We weren't worried about what people thought. We had visitors that would come, and we'd have Bible time with them. And we had some kids over, and they looked at us, and their eyes would get big, you know, and what are they doing? They're singing. And that's what our Bible time was. Our family altar time was singing and praying and reading God's Word. And this word has that idea, to sound notes together that are harmonious, that blend together, chords that are played together, that are harmonious and matched together. No disharmony. That's the word here that's used. They came together, they all continued with one harmony in prayer. We could put it that way. One harmony. Oh, they sang different notes. They weren't all singing the same pitch, but they were singing in harmony. What was melodious, and it blended together, and they were united together in prayer. Somebody would be praying for this family member, and somebody else would be praying for maybe Peter. And somebody else was praying. They were all sounding different notes, but it all blended together in prayer to God. Now that's the picture here of these early saints following the ascension of Jesus Christ. What did they do? They came together in one accord, one mind, sounding notes together of prayer and supplication. And it's interesting, when you look at this word prayer and supplication, it's one Greek word. It's divided into two thoughts. Because in that word are these two ideas. The first one is not necessarily referring to the action of prayer, but rather a place of prayer. A place of prayer. Look with me, I believe it's in Acts chapter 16. Let me just turn there real quick, make sure I've got the right spot, make sure that I communicate clearly what I wanted to share. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 13, we read, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made." Same word there for prayer that's used back here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, designating a place where they would all gather together to do what? To pray. Here, it was beside a river. They had chosen that as their place of prayer. We watched the film of Robert Sheffy, and he was wont to do what when he prayed? He'd grab his lamb skin, and he'd head up into the hills. He would just go sit by a tree or sit on a rock or whatever, and he would pray. That's where he prayed. That's what he enjoyed doing. On Saturday mornings, we meet in room one. And we get in a few chairs. For years and years, we all kneeled down here at the benches and whatever, but some have gotten a little older, and it's hard to get down. And so we sit in the chairs now, and we pray together. And that's what we are wont to do. We meet in room five, we meet in here, we meet in other places. We've had cottage prayer meetings before where we met in people's homes before revival services to pray for the meetings. And this word here for prayer has the place of prayer, and then with it is the idea of the supplication in this place of prayer. It's not a purpose for anything else other than what? Prayer. That's the idea behind this word. Meeting in a place of prayer for the purpose of supplication or prayer. So, in this one verse, we have the established, I think, and I believe personally, the principle, when the Lord is gone, what are we to do? He's not physically here with us. He's not His person. Remember, He's 100% human. And right now, the Bible says He's at the right hand of the Father. He's seated. Why is He seated? Because His high priestly work is done. It's done. So He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and what is He doing there? He's making intercession as our mediator to the Father for us. Isn't that wonderful? Not only that, we have the person of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, who teaches us, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. He gives us understanding about how we should pray. So we have all three persons of the Trinity that's involved in prayer. He's not physically with us. What should we do? The early church, they got together and they prayed. In one place, they came together to supplicate, to pray for specific things. Why? They were discouraged. Their master was gone. He wasn't physically with them anymore. And they came together to encourage one another. In the truth, He is gone physically, but He's still with us spiritually. Very important truth. Let's go on to a second one here in regard to the apostolic history. Look over in the next chapter, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. There's our word again. In one place. What did they come together to do? Well, they'd come together to worship and to pray, as we learn here in this particular passage. Second chapter tells us that they had a prayer meeting seeking God's divine power. Because what follows immediately after this gathering for prayer in one place? We have the divine impartation of the Holy Spirit of God that comes and indwells them. Very important to see this. The next incident happens in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Look over there very quickly in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now here they gather together because they are enduring persecution already in chapter 4. In this chapter, we're told that they were enduring persecution. Who had been arrested? First persecution is recorded here. Peter had been taken to task by the Sanhedrin, and they put him in jail. They don't want him out there preaching. He's not licensed to preach. Isn't that amazing? By what authority are you preaching, Peter? Boy, they went after Jesus on this. By what authority? By the authority of God. I'm the Son of God. That's by whose authority? And here was Peter, unlicensed, uneducated. He didn't have the stamp of the Pharisees upon him. And those Sanhedrin were hopping mad. How dare he become the focal point of all these people in Jerusalem that we read about in chapter 2. Persecution came. What did the saints do? They gathered together for what? For prayer. Let's go on. Chapter 12. Again, we have a situation where we have an imprisoned individual. Peter has been arrested. He's in jail. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but, conjunction here, connecting us to this event, prayer was made without ceasing. Same word, Greek word, used back in chapter 1 and verse 14. They prayed without ceasing. They went to a place and they prayed together unto God for him. Again, persecution, but specifically praying that God would release him. And what happens in chapter 12? Peter's released by angels. He comes to the house, knocks on the door. A young girl goes up to the door. She looks out the peephole. You ever had somebody do that? You see their eyeball three times bigger than what it is. They're looking out the peephole to see who it was. She pulls back, goes back again. She goes running back inside. Peter's at the door. They're all looking at each other. What? Are you sure about that? I've seen him. Peter's at the door. And they're stunned. They're stunned. God had just done what? He had answered the prayer by which the reason they had come together that evening. And so they rush to the door and there's Peter in answer to prayer. Persecution, imprisonment. What do the saints do? They come together to do what? To pray. Chapter 13. We're almost done here. Chapter 13, verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now this was the appointment of Paul and Barnabas. Here were saints that were going to go out as missionaries. And what did the saints do? They came together and did what? They prayed. They prayed. They didn't just meet individually in their houses to pray. They came together. They prayed for them. They laid hands upon them. And they sent them forth as missionary evangelists to carry forth the Word of God. They had a prayer meeting. Then finally, the verse that I shared with you in chapter 16, I'll begin reading at verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. It's interesting that in these prayer meetings, out of the four times that I've just read, three times there's women present. This wasn't just for the men. This was for the women too. Three times referenced here, women are present and they are praying with the men. I think that's extremely important. That when we pray, all of us are to pray. Amen? All of us are to pray. We're all to be involved with that. And I know that we are here. I'm not trying to make any kind of criticism at all. I'm not trying to say that. But what I'm saying is this, that prayer is an important part of the church family. Not just for a few, but for all to participate. It was a young damsel who went to the door. Idea there, teenage girl. She was at the prayer meeting. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Teenagers praying? What a glorious thing. They need to be involved in praying. And so here in the book of Acts, we have shared to you a model that's laid out in the book of Acts of God's people coming together for a variety of reasons to do what? To pray. Is the prayer meeting important? I think so. We could go through and look at all kinds of other passages. But that phrase that's used there, coming together in one accord, that musical phrase there is used 10 times in the book of Acts. It only appears two other times, and it's both by the Apostle Paul. He writes and uses it in the book of Romans. It only appears in two places, Acts and Romans, coming together for the purpose of prayer. And so we're going to pick up there. What are the uses of the prayer meeting? I'm going to give you a list, Lord willing, next time, of the different uses of the prayer meeting. What we should be doing, how we should be thinking as we come together for prayer. This is such an important role, and especially in the times in which we live. It's troubling times. Listen, we're in deep trouble. But you know what? As Christians, we have a wonderful Savior that's in charge. And no matter what comes our way, we serve Him and we pray through Him to the Father and beseech His face to undertake for us. We need to pray that God's will would be done and that He would encourage our hearts. Father in heaven, we thank You for the testimony of the early saints. Following the ascension, they were together praying. When persecution came, they were praying. When Peter was put into jail, they were praying. When missionaries were needed to be sent to carry the gospel out to Jew and Gentile, they came together to pray. What an example is given to us. And I pray, Father, that we would never come to the place, any of us, that we think prayer and gathering together for prayer is something that's not needed. Because then, Lord, we know that we've turned away from Your Word. Such examples are given for our encouragement. Not because there's a law that says we have to, but because there's a desire within our hearts to come together and to encourage each other, to pray for each other and to pray for those special requests that are near and dear to us, and to seek Your face and to adore Thee and to worship Thee and to thank Thee. Oh Lord, there's so many different purposes of prayer, and I pray, dear Father, that we would be a praying people. I ask now Your blessing upon us as we go our ways tonight, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.